Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Vintage Steph Curry, incredible. Just an incredible shot maker. Now to Curry, got to pick him up. Shakes loose. Oh my goodness. Beats the shot clock. Steph Curry with 28, his fourth three.
This is unreal, Craig.
I'm just telling you, man, I got PTSD from seeing this dude too many times in the playoffs. I just got to admit it. Comes into Curry on the bounce, launches deep one. Oh my goodness. And he hits it from the Y at Toyota Center.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That would be post-traumatic Steph disorder.
That's a four.
That Craig Ackerman, the TV voice of the Rockets, was expressing the other night, and he's going to join us here on the River Islands guest line right now. Before he does, though, two quick pieces of NBA injury news to pass along, and one of them is not good for Warriors fans. First one has to do with the game that's about to tip here shortly. Jason Tatum is officially out, so there will not be any Jason Tatum in Game 2 for the Boston Celtics with their 1-0 lead on the Orlando Magic. But for the Warriors, a late downgrade to questionable, Brandon Pajemski with an illness. So have no idea any further information than that, but the late downgrade for Brandon Pajemski, look, I think most people would argue Warriors' most important role player right there, and a lot of minutes to fill in if he can't play. So that's a big deal. Let's get Craig Ackerman into the conversation. Good afternoon, Craig, especially on a game day. Thank you for coming on.
Good afternoon, and no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hey, just real quick, since that happened, the downgrade of Brandon Pajemski to questionable, if he were to miss this game, how do you see that affecting things?
I mean, I think that affects a lot. He played well the other night. He's someone else who is a perimeter threat that the Rockets need to deal with, depending upon how they ultimately decide to defend Steph Curry tonight. Maybe they'll send some more double teams and blitz him and get the ball out of his hands. I guess it's one less perimeter threat that they would have to worry about in that situation. But obviously, for any team and at this time of the year, you want to be at full strength and to not have one of those guys that have been part of a starting lineup that's been really, really, really good for Golden State to not have him obviously does not help the Warriors.
So how do the Rockets go about defending Steph Curry? Because two games back, the Rockets held him on 1 of 10 for 3 points, and then game one in the series, it felt like they defended him pretty well, but Steph was able to get 31. Is it a case of different approach in game two, or do they just stick Amen Thompson on him again and hope that Steph doesn't throw in three miracle threes again?
Well, I mean, look, he's done that his entire career, and it does seem like he's hit like three of those per game against the Rockets for the last decade. But yeah, so Amen Thompson will be the primary guy on him, but they might end up sending more doubles at him. I think you saw a little bit of that toward the end of the game. Maybe you'll see them, and they've done it this year, where they'll blitz the other team's best scorer and try to get the ball out of their hands, and they just kind of dare other guys on their roster to beat you. Whether or not that happens here tonight, we'll see, but I think that's possibly a strategy. But sometimes even when, look, I think the 3 points that Curry had a couple of weeks ago was an aberration. You know, that was the kind of game that you never see from him. And he's obviously much better than that. And so I think even when you do defend him as well as you possibly can, he still finds ways to beat you. And if he does, again, you just got to tip your cap and move on. But maybe we'll see some more double teams and try to get the ball out of his hands and dare some of these other guys to beat them.
Craig Ackerman, TV voice of the Rockets, with us here on Willard and Dibs. I'd love to dive a little further into your PTSD, Craig. And I wonder, I wonder how it affects the entire series. I get that the Rockets players didn't experience this, but I also know what things are like when it kind of hangs over an organization and the fan base. Like, how is the history of this matchup still in the building tonight?
Well, I mean, look, for me personally, it hadn't been fun. I mean, I've been here forever. This is my 31st season, not doing this, but my 31st season with the organization. So I was there for every single one of the previous four playoff matchups, primarily doing radio back then. And so I've been there, done that, and would prefer to not do it again from a personal standpoint. The players on this team, most of these guys obviously were never, none of these guys were around for any of that. Although the young guys on this team, up until they beat them in that NBA Cup quarterfinal game in Houston, none of the young guys had ever beaten them earlier. But it is something that does kind of hang over the Warriors, the fan base. The Warriors have been the Rockets' kryptonite for a very long time. And the irony, I guess, the sad irony from my perspective would be, after all those years when the Rockets tried to compete with them, and that group that they tried to compete with a handful of years ago, I thought was the best, the most talented team ever assembled. Obviously, they had their chances, the Chris Paul hamstring injury, then the 27 missed threes in Game 7, and so on and so forth. They didn't get it done. This is a different group, but the irony to go from that and then to finally be back in the playoffs after 5 years, and then you match up with the Warriors again, and Curry is still doing his thing. It can be a little bit deflating, but look, I respect Steph Curry. I respect his pantheon on the all-time great level of players. He's just an incredible talent. And again, sometimes that you can do your best to try to slow him and stop him, and he just still finds a way to get it done.
Yeah, 59 career 30-plus point games in the playoffs, 8 against Houston, which is the most against any single opponent. So your PTSD is well earned. Craig Ackerman here on 95.7 The Game. So beyond the stopping Steph conundrum, which Houston faces, how do you go about having more offense for a team that really struggled in game one to shoot it?
Yeah, well, look, this team, look, the last 6 weeks of the regular season, they actually did shoot the ball as well as they had the entire year. So there's that. But generally speaking, yes, this is a Rockets team that if you can get them in a half court, the reliability of their perimeter shooting, you can't rely on that from a game-to-game basis. There have been times that they have shot the ball very well, and again, they did shoot the ball a lot better towards the end of the season. But they win games because they're the hustle stats team. As you guys saw in game one, and the Warriors are a terrific rebounding and offensive rebounding team themselves. The Rockets have been the best rebounding and offensive rebounding team in the league the entire year, and in fact, they've been the best offensive rebounding team that the league has seen in years. And a lot of times some of their best offenses put shots at the rim and going getting the misses. But they have to win the offensive rebound battle. They have to win the second chance points battle. But their turnovers in the first half, there were just too many of them, and it cascaded into that big run by the Warriors in the second quarter. And that's when things really got out of control. But they got to win points off of turnovers. They were very limited in terms of their fast break points. Golden State's a terrific transition defense, as are the Rockets, but the Rockets did not get much transition offense at all in game one. They've got to play with more tempo. They've got to get in their sets quicker. And then hopefully they're not going to be, you know, what were they, 6 of 29, 6 of 39 bad from the three-point line moving forward.
Craig, what you're talking about is exactly what Amen Thompson was talking about after shoot-around today, and I'm sure the Warriors are well aware of it. Like, the Rockets need to do more in transition. You just said the Warriors are a great transition defensive team. So is that easier said than done? Rockets want to push the pace, but can you just do that if you want to?
Well, they got to force turnovers, which Golden State at times, those live ball turnovers, is a bit, it has been a little bit of the Achilles heel during this great run that they've had over the last decade. And now the Rockets did score their fair share of points off of turnovers in game one, and I think they will probably do so again, but they have to limit their turnovers, which again is easier said than done because Golden State's been playing the best defense in the league since acquiring Jimmy Butler, and they're forcing more turnovers than everybody, but they've got to limit their live ball turnovers because they can't allow Golden State to get easy baskets. And then they got to be more decisive. They've got to get into their actions quicker, and when they attack, and it's very difficult to get to the rim against Golden State, when they have to attack, they have to understand that if they're not going to get all the way to the rim and the Warriors' defense collapse on them, there are opportunities to drive and kick, and they need to make more of those opportunities, create more of those opportunities quicker and more often, and then just hope again that some of those shots start to drop because they just did not make enough shots in game one.
Are there any personnel changes that would assist in that drive and kick? Because I look at what this team has been throughout the regular season, and some of the better shooters on the roster are guys who have not been playing of late.
Well, I mean, Dylan Brooks has had a heck of a year. He's almost at 40% from the three-point line. Dylan's actually been amazing in the 2 years that he's been. So he's certainly capable. Now, Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green have struggled against the Warriors all year. Jalen Green has struggled historically his entire career against the Warriors. And those are the two primary guys that ultimately I think need to be better. They're going to maybe play a little bit more of that double big lineup than we saw in game one. That double big lineup was with Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün was the best two-man combination in the league. Their net rating was just insane, and they were all year long they've been running teams off the floor. When those two guys play with one another, maybe see some more minutes for Steven Adams, maybe see some more Aaron Holiday off the bench. He shot the ball really well from three this year, if Jalen and or Fred can't seem to get it going. But I think they're basically going to stick with the eight that you saw in game one, maybe a little bit more Adams, and then again, maybe some Aaron Holiday moving forward in this series if Jalen and Fred can't bust out of their slumps.
Rockets TV voice Craig Ackerman joining us on Willard and Dibs. Craig, I ask this with the utmost respect because I really like what the Rockets are doing, but are they just too young to really realistically advance in the playoffs?
I think history would tell you, yes, you have to go through pain ultimately to experience pleasure when it comes to playoff basketball. And the vast majority of young teams ultimately have to go through some of that pain, learn from those experiences, and move forward. Game one was the first playoff game for so many of these guys. And the young players were the reason why the Rockets finished as the two seed. The veterans have been really, really important to setting the tone and showing these guys what it means to be professional, what it takes to win at the highest level. But the Rockets achieved what they did in the regular season because of the growth of all of the young players. And game one was the first time these guys have experienced it. Obviously, Şengün was incredible. Hopefully, that will be the case moving forward. And so they're going to have to learn from this. But normally, yes, young guys, it takes a little bit of time. But the mentality in that locker room, today, yesterday, before game one, all year long, this is a really mentally tough group. That tone was set by the arrival of this new coaching staff and the addition of the veteran players. They have had low moments this season, and they've been able to fight their way through it. They believe that, yes, they are capable of ultimately advancing. They do have the tools to win this series because they are a very, very good, versatile defensive team. It just comes down to, again, just being a little bit smarter with their playmaking, turning down the turnovers, and just making more shots moving forward.
What exactly has Ime Udoka brought other than just the confidence and the success that he had in Boston and what he's been able to do here in the turnaround in Houston? What's the one thing that you look at that's been a big difference maker for this young team?
Well, you know, I guess a big storyline with the NBA is that the league has gone a bit soft. And personally, I don't necessarily disagree with that. So if you're really wanting an old school feel to the NBA, where physicality and in your face sort of bravado was something that you missed and would like more of, that's what Ime's brought to this team, and they've taken on his personality. This is as physical of a team as there is in the league. If I don't know how much you've paid attention to the way the Rockets have played since the midway point of last season, but this is a group that doesn't back down from anyone. They've probably gotten in more scuffles and fights than any team in the league. That's a reflection of how they ultimately want to play. They want to play at that line. Obviously, don't want to cross it over, but they play with a bit of an old school mentality, and that is what Ime has directly brought to this group. That
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You've got to be tougher. You've got to take the fight to the opposition, because he felt like this group, correctly so, had been getting bullied up until his arrival, and they really started to sort of take that form about midway through last season, and it obviously carried over all year long this year as well.
Craig, great stuff. Great having you. Before you go, where does Steph Curry rank on the city of Houston's all-time PTSD list?
Let me see. I'm trying to think. Well, the Astros have had such incredible success. The Astros are to the Yankees as the Warriors have been to the Rockets. You know, back in the mid-1990s, the Seattle Supersonics had the Rockets' number in a very similar way to the way that Golden State has had this version over the last decade, the Rockets' number in the last 10 or so years. Guys like, you know, Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf and Sean Kemp. The Rockets won one of their titles when the Sonics got upset by Denver in the first round, so they were able to avoid them altogether. But I would probably put Steph as number one, because those original playoff series going back lastly in 2019 were incredibly painful, because the manner at which the Rockets lost those series were all different, all uniquely painful. And so for me personally, I think Curry is, I definitely put him number one. He's such a great player that, again, sometimes, as we talked about earlier, you can scheme to try to stop him. You can scheme to try to slow him down, but he just finds a way to beat you. And it just seems like he's always found a way to beat the Rockets over the years. And again, hopefully for this young group, they can get over the hump here in this series and move on and put that era behind them. But again, I tip my cap to Steph Curry. He's just an incredible player. And also, look, Draymond Green's been there along for the ride. He's been awesome against the Rockets. Kevon Looney has been a rock for Golden State his entire career. So again, I have a ton of respect for Golden State, but I will admit it would be nice to finally get one over on them for the first time in forever.
It's a big statement, big statement. All right, Craig, hey, thanks again, and have a great call tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Craig Ackerman, the TV voice of the Houston Rockets, and he suffers from post-traumatic Steph syndrome.